With love in our hearts toward you, toward your word, toward the revelation, Lord, toward the body, Lord, of believers that are one in you. Father, we thank you every day, every opportunity we have, Lord, to speak a word for you, Lord, each one, Lord, as you would lead and guide day by day, Lord, that you would give us opportunity to testify, Lord, or just people to see and know that there's something different, Lord, about each one, your bride around the world. Lord, may you just continue to draw us and guide us. We thank you for the sweetness of your spirit. We thank you for the songs. Lord, we pray for Brother Gomba as he's a minister in there in Kenya. May you be with him. And Lord, each one, those that are not able to be here tonight, we ask you would just bless them and strengthen them. May you take us, guide us in the furtherance of this service now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. We greet you in the name of the Lord, and we're just thankful. We appreciate the song there, Sister Amanda. And I know we have some talent here, and we'd love to hear from you sisters. That I think everyone can sing. The only one who can't sing is me. So we have plenty of singers here. So just feel free anytime to come and to share your beautiful voice, and the Lord would lead you. We'd just love to have you come and give us a special sometime. Amen. So now we want to get right into the message tonight. We know that take a little bit less time on Wednesday night due to school and those things, and people are working. But we want to pick up in Christ the mystery of God revealed. And I think I may have read these. I have two or three quotes, paragraphs out of Christ the mystery of God revealed that we've already read actually, and I just want to read them again. And I want to insert a few other quotes there. And you notice most of the time what I do when I hit something in the message, then I usually go get another quote or two and back that up. You know, Brother Branham said two or three is a witness. And so when he says something, I always like to have a witness there, and it just makes it stronger, makes it greater and more real, and especially when it's coming after the opening of the seals. We know that was that something great took place there, and it was time for the full revelation to come forth. And so I'm going to begin here. Christ is the mystery of God revealed, paragraph 296. So therefore, there is no school, no theologians, no teachings of the Bible among any school that knows anything about it. You get it. There is no school, no theologian, no teachings of the Bible among any school that knows anything about it. None of them. None of them. Why? Because it's a revelation. It's absolutely 100%. It's a revelation. They cannot know anything about it. They cannot. It's impossible for them to know anything about it. Is he sure what he's talking about? He's repeating it. He's saying it a different way. He's confirming it's impossible for them to know anything about it. Any school, any theologian, any teacher, any teachings, any of it. It's impossible for them to know. God has hid the senses of knowing it from the very elected teachers and everything else. Not one of us here tonight has that ability. There's nothing that we can do to get it. It's 100% God reveals it to you. He reveals it to you. He don't base it on anybody else. He don't base it on your mom and dad. He don't base it on your husband or your wife. He don't base it on your cousins. He don't base it on anything else. It's 100% a revelation from Him to you. He's revealing Himself personally to you. Nobody else has anything in it. Nothing. Now, they can preach, they can talk about it, that's all good. But the revelation is 100%, it's God doing it.
Amen.
See, He's hid it from the senses of knowing it. None of your intellect, none of that. From the very elected teachers and everything else. Now, I'm jumping to another message. Back in 1958, we would see Jesus, and He's in the prayer line, and He's talking. He said, now, I don't know her, and if the Lord Jesus will reveal just like He did the woman at the well and tell her something that she has done or not done or something that's wrong with her, like there was with the woman at the well, and let it be right here, see, right here so you can see it and know it. How many in here will believe that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead and lives in His church? That's the thing.
Amen. That's right.
He's not only raised today, He's living in His church.
That's,
and that's not the point we're after, but that's a good point, because there's people that don't see Christ living.
That's right.
They're waiting for it in the future. I'm talking about in the message.
Yeah.
They don't see it because they have a false expectation of what it is. They don't see that life of Jesus Christ living.
Amen.
It's there. You got to know who He is. If it's in you, then you'll see it in other people. You'll know what it is. You know that it's something that is moving them and leading them in all that they do. Every day of their life is a relationship. It's a walk with God. They can't go through the day without thinking about Him. They can't get up without thinking about Him. They can't go to sleep without thinking about Him. Their whole life is around Him. And His Word and His Spirit. They're moved by His Spirit.
Amen.
And they know it. They know it constantly. They know that He is near them, speaking to them, guiding them.
Amen.
They knew it. They feel it all day long. They're going through that.
Amen.
See, He lives in His church today. Bless your hearts. It may be a big city, but that's a very good representation of believers of Christ. And you know, God won't save all of New York. We know that, see? No. He will save the ones that by foreknowledge He knew and has elected to eternal life. That's the only ones in New York that's going to get it. Only ones in North Carolina is going to get it. Only ones in America. Only ones in Kenya, India, whatever country to go to. Those are the only ones going to get it. Those that He foreknew that He elected to eternal life. The rest of their eyes will be closed. That's what we're getting to.
Yeah.
The very flood that saved Noah drowned the unbelieving world.
Mm-hmm.
The very thing that saved one killed the other.
Amen.
The very sun, the very sunlight that let you see this revelation, that let you see the presence of God, is the same sun that blinds their eyes. It's exactly the same. The very gospel that's bringing healing and salvation to those who are elected to such is blinding the eyes of leaders and teachers and church members throughout the world. Not just America. No, throughout the world, that blindness has taken place. Always the same. God can't change. He remains the same. Back to Christ, the mystery of God revealed. It's a personal, individual affair with the person. Huh?
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. It's not mom and daddy, not husband and wife.
Right.
It's a personal affair.
Amen.
You're not going to get nobody in. And the beauty of that is nobody's going to get you out.
That's right.
He said you can't get them saved and they can't make you lost.
Amen.
It's 100%. What God had in His mind before the foundation of the world. It's a personal, individual affair with the person that Christ has revealed to them. See?
And if you say, he's been revealed to me, and then the life that Christ produced here in the Bible, that same life is in him, does not produce itself in you. Here's that. This is the mirror. And you got to look in the mirror and see yourself. You got to look in the Word. You got to look at him, Christ, and see yourself right there. See? Does not produce itself in you, then you've got the wrong revelation. Why? Because the new birth is a revelation. It's a revelation. You know. He has revealed himself to you. Does God change his mind about his Word? This is in Los Angeles. 1965. Now we find out here that this carnal impersonation that Moab had, he saw this prophet among Israel that was able to bless and curse and lead and so forth. So he tries to match it by politics. You see the devil, that's the devil's way right there. Now that's just what's taking place in the churches today. The same thing. Politics have come in. Politics have come in, and they're going to have a soup party, or they're going to have a bunko party, or they're going to have this, or they're going to have that, and you're not going to come to our church unless you do this, or you're not going to come to our church unless you've gone to our school. You're not going to come to our church unless you do this for us. No, that's their politics. That's their church politics. I'm not talking about national politics. I'm talking about church politics. They got their own. See? That's just what's taking place in the churches today. They have tried to match it with some kind of a system. You can't do it. The Holy Spirit must be alive in the church. Huh? It must be. He must be alive in the church, always leading the church for the age that it's living in. To confirm the word that's promised for the age. That's the key. And these things, some of these little things that he's saying is just simplicity to us. It's just simplicity. But it's things that wasn't clearly understood in the ages gone by. It wasn't clear to them. And I was thinking what he was saying a minute ago about it's impossible. It's impossible for them to see it. They didn't get that in Jesus' day. He was telling them the same thing. He said, in you is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You got eyes and you can't see, and ears you can't hear, a heart that can't perceive. Brother Branham brings it down and he explains it. And he said, we preach it like it's for everyone. And he said, we know that it's not. He said, we preach healing like it's for everyone, like everyone can be healed. He said, we know it's not. He said, we preach salvation like it's for everybody, but we know it's not. The Holy Spirit must be alive in the church, always leading the church for the age that it's living in. This we just talked about recently, in that it's got to be every single person, every one of you, every member of the body of Jesus Christ around the world is every day led by His Spirit. It's a life. It's a life. Yeah, every decision you make, everything that you go to do, everything is based on the Word in your life. If you're going to go somewhere, if somebody wants you to go somewhere, whatever it is, you base it on the Word. If you think it's someplace He wouldn't want you to be, you won't go there. If you go shopping for clothes, if you think it's something He wouldn't want you to wear, you won't buy it. If you get with somebody that they're just a bad influence, a terrible person, you'll find yourself separating from that. You'll find yourself where He wants you to be, because He's leading you by His Spirit, by His Word, leading the church for the age, and He always makes that clear. It's got to come to the age. It's got to come to that. It's got to be recognized what day you're in, what hour you're in. You can't go back and live Luther's day or Wesley's day or Pentecost. You can't live Paul's day. And as hard as I try, it still sounds critical sometimes. And I'm trying to get away from that wording as much as I can. But people are still living in Paul's day.
Yes, sir.
And they're just like they were in that day when Paul said they're veiled by the veil of Moses.
Yes, sir.
They have Moses' message and they're veiled. And they'll only take, they know, that no doubt they were just like then that they are now. That they've seen the supernatural, they've seen the dead raised, they've seen the blinded eyes, they've seen that God was doing something and they felt the pull of the hour. But they could only take what they could take back to Moses. And that's what people have done with the message today. They see the supernatural, they know these things, but they still only take the message as far as they can take it back to Paul. If they can prove it by Paul, then Brother Branham's a messenger. And it just makes it clear that they have absolutely no revelation.
That's right.
When a person is trying, and really this is becoming more real to us all the time. When a person is trying to prove the message by the Bible or by another age,
yes, sir,
then it shows you they don't have a revelation of what a prophet is.
Right.
That a prophet is absolutely the voice of God for the day and age that he lives in.
Amen.
And he is ordained to interpret the Word of God. Because the Word of God, your Bible, is written in such a manner that it is prophecy for different ages. There's things all through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, that was to come to pass in future ages. And so the people didn't know it. They didn't know that sometimes they would know that this is something that's a promise that's going to happen. Sometimes they didn't. Sometimes those scriptures were just laying there dormant and we had no clue. I don't know if there was anybody reading Malachi 4 and looking for a prophet in this last day. I never met anybody that was. I don't know if there was anybody reading Revelations 10:7 and saying, you know, there's a prophet coming in the last days. No. God sent a messenger, identified those scriptures, interpreted those scriptures, manifested and vindicated those scriptures. And then God sent a spirit on the earth to people so that they could believe that.
That's right.
That was impossible or what did he say? A paradox. Something that would be just seem ridiculous.
Yeah.
There had to be a spirit, the Spirit of God on the earth in the days of John the Baptist to make those people believe his message.
Yeah.
To look at the way he was dressed, to look at the education that he didn't have, to look at the way he preached, to look at all those things. God had to put a spirit upon those people that they could believe this man. And so that he could stand there one day and see Christ and see the Spirit of God descending upon him and nobody else see it. And he said, this is him. This is the one. God, the Spirit of God had to come on the people to believe that this was the one. They were taking it off of man's word. They didn't see the Spirit descend upon him. They didn't see none of those things. John identified him.
Amen.
And that's the reason that you believe the things that you believe today, because no man could teach it. No man could believe it. No man could take the revelation, the unfolding of the word, the unfolding of the seventh seal, the unfolding of the seven thunders, the third pole, all of those things, you wouldn't be able to understand that unless God did something special.
Amen.
In your life.
That's right.
Not intellectually.
Amen.
But give you a revelation when you are reading the word. And not because you read the word, because if it was just that, then anybody who read it, they could understand it. No, it was something there that God did that let you see beyond the surface of it.
That's right.
That's what Brother Branham said. It's between the lines.
Yeah.
So there's something there that he calls you and he reveals himself so that it makes sense to you. When other people, it doesn't make sense to. I've given people the Church Ages book before, and I can understand sometime in some of the other messages, like if you give maybe the Feast of Trumpets to a person first time, that message, I read it many, many times before it really began to click. And so, and that was over a number of years. And I had heard it preached many times, and when I heard it preached, I thought, man, that's perfect. And then I read it and try to preach it, and it didn't work. It took me a long time. But I've given the Church Ages book. And to me, the Church Ages book is so simple, so clear, so simple. I've had people read that and say, I can't understand that. I can't. I don't. What they're really saying is they don't believe it. Unfortunately, they don't believe it. And so when God reveals the voice to you, you can't help but believe it. You couldn't unbelieve it. It just, God does something and you can't get away from it. Mm-mm. Praise God. See? Let's go back to the top here. The Holy Spirit must be alive in the church. See? Always. Leading the church for the age that it's living in to confirm. See? To confirm, to vindicate the word that's promised for that age. God spoke the word from the beginning, and so much for this age and so much for that age and certain for them age, see, it's always happened just that way. And see, the Holy Spirit must be alive in the church. Now he's saying it again. He wants us to get that. It must be alive. It can't be dead. It can't be dormant. It can't just be intellect. It can't be an intellectual faith. It can't be something we just talk about and we try to make it look like he's alive. We don't. I've seen people that they're always talking about God did this and he did this and he did this and this. And I think all of that's wonderful. But sometimes they're trying to make people think how spiritual they are.
That's right.
And that God's, you know, or else they're trying to help God out because, like Sarah did. They don't feel God's getting it done, so they're gonna help God get some glory. God don't need help. He don't need help. He just needs you to surrender, and then he's gonna get the glory in your life. Because your life is gonna be a glory. Your life is gonna be a testimony. And he doesn't need all the plump and the bright lights and the glitter and all of that stuff. No, he don't need that. He's just fine in humility. And you will be too. When he gets in you, you'll be just fine in humility. See, the Holy Spirit must be alive in the church to make this church live its day. There it is again. This day, this hour, not another. It must be here today to confirm this latter day ministry. That's right. Latter-day signs, latter-day pour out of the Holy Ghost. That's right. And that's what we are. Brother Branham's always said, that already said, he's already proved it, that the bride is him, is himself on the earth today. That's what the bride is. And so that means the ministry now, we don't have the prophet here now. We don't have Jesus 2,000 years ago in a fleshly body here now. No, he's here in a body. He's here in a bride. He's in here in a many-membered body. And so that's the ministry today. That's the ministry that every one of us are a part of, that ministry. It's this revelation living. It's the life of Christ living in the body today. See, it just got to be here to do that. What? The Holy Ghost. It's got to be here to do that. You cannot get it through the working of systems. God has a system. He is the one who has given us the Holy Spirit. That's right. See? And it had to be in the day and the age. It had to be in that time that he spoke it to be. And he spoke it. He put it in the scripture, right in the scripture, that he would pour out his spirit. The things that he promised, every bit of it, it's right there to be opened by the messenger of the age. And then there's the body. And then the body takes that that message, that word, and it begins to live out through them. Paragraph 236. This is a message proving his word. Now remember, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there that could discern the thoughts in Sarah's mind behind him. That was not Jesus. He had not yet been born. See? But it was a man in human flesh. And Abraham called that man Elohim, the great Almighty. See? Showing. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom. See? Now watch close. In the days of Sodom, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed. Not just a day of increase in homosexuality and the filth and the perversion of the flesh. No. But the prophet reveals the greatest part of it. Not just the all of the sin and all of the filth and all that. No, but the greatest part was that God was going to come down in a veil of flesh and reveal himself. And who was he going to do it to? He was going to have an elected seed on the earth. And he was going to come down while the rest of the world was blinded to it, where the rest of the world couldn't see it happening because his elect was separated from the rest of the world. And he comes down and in that personal relationship reveals himself to Abraham, reveals himself today in his wife, in his bride. See, as it was in the days of Sodom. Now watch close. In the days of Sodom, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. What about the Son of Man? At the coming. At the coming. That's people still arguing about it today. When is he coming? Has he come? Yes, he's come. No, he hasn't come. He's going to come someday. Just like they said, who is he? Or who do you say I am? That's what you could ask today. Yeah. Has he come? Have you seen him? Have you met him? Have you become one with him? If you've been born again, he's come. He's come. If he's living in you, he's come. And if he hasn't, if you haven't been born again, he hasn't come. That's right. He hasn't come. No, you haven't met him. You don't know him. You haven't entered into heavenly places. No. But if you have, if he has come, and you have, he has personally revealed himself to you, then you are presently sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's right. You know, people, I think people make light of that. I don't think they realize the significance of sitting now in heavenly places. And you know, people, they still have this idea about going somewhere. And remember, Brother Branham said, you go to heaven, he said, you're going to find out one day when you go to heaven, you're not going off somewhere. Said, you're still right here. You're still right here. Huh? Just another dimension. What happened to you when you were born again? Huh? You just changed. You just changed. Your whole life changed. Your nature changed. The way you talk changed. The way you dress changed. The whole atmosphere, your life, it changed. That's right. You're living in a different atmosphere than what you did before. Everything. Did the Bible say? Does the Bible say that when you're born again, that you will have the mind of Christ? Yes. That's the Bible, isn't it? Yes. Then if you have the mind of Christ, then you are going to think like Him. Yes, sir. You can't help it. You can't go back to that old way. You now begin to think like Him. Now, I know that when the new birth takes place, you're a babe. So that is developing. That is growing. That's maturing. And that's for every one of us. There's a maturing that takes place. And so when it first takes place, we don't have it all right then. We're experimenting. We're learning to walk. We're learning to talk. We're learning how to do this thing. Yes. And we make our mistakes. But it never changes the fact that that birth has taken place.
That's right.
Not one time when your child falls down does that change the fact that they've been born.
That's right.
They don't have anything to do with it whatsoever. Right. See, in that day, the Son of Man will be revealed. What? To join the church to the head. Unite, see, the marriage of the bride. So what? Why? He's telling us, he's identifying in the scripture that what happened in Abraham's day would happen in this day. And he's identifying that this revealing was going to take place to join the church, the body, he's talking about the body, to the head, a uniting, a marriage of the bride. See, the bridegroom call will come right through this. Right through what? This revealing. This revealing, this message, this unfolding, this revealing of the Son of Man, this coming of Christ. When the Son of Man, let's read that again. The bridegroom call will come right through this. Huh? What's that? That's the shout. That's the message that will gather her together, unite her together. It don't matter. All of these things that as he's revealing them, you can't get away from the rapture. Because every one of them relate to the rapture. So as hard as you try to put the rapture back into the denominational idea, you can't continue to believe that the divine interpretation of the revelation of the word of this age, not another age now, not talking about what they had in the church ages, which was a partial revelation. I'm talking about what we have right now when the Son of Man was revealed and the book was opened and the seals was opened and the seventh seal was revealed. Oh, that's another time. That was to unite, to bring the head and the body together. See, the bridegroom call will come right through this when the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together.
Amen.
Praise God. The church has to be the Word. He's the Word, and the two unites together. And to do that, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. Now he's doubling down on it. He's reading it out of the scripture. He's telling you what it's going to do, how it's going to do it. It places it perfectly in the scripture. He goes all the way back and places it. He brings it all the way to the end time and he places it. And then he tells you the result is going to be the marriage of the Lamb. Here. Now. In this age. You're not going to the marriage. This revealing is joined, has united the bride and Christ together. He's going to say it. The church has to be the Word. He's the Word. The two unites together. And to do that, it will take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. So what he's saying is, she's going to see it. She's going to see him. She's going to see him reveal himself. He's going to reveal himself, a personal revelation to her. She's going to see it. And she's going to say, this is him. And he's in me. And begin to manifest that. That manifestation of himself is going to make him and her one. Is that what he's saying?
Yes, sir.
I mean, to me, that's just as clear, as plain, as simple as it can be. He's placing, he's telling you how it's happening. See, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man, not a clergyman. I don't know. Do you see what I mean? See, it's Son of Man. Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh among us. So in case you were getting confused, in case you thought he was talking about the man, the seventh angel messenger, or any other messenger, in case you was getting confused about that, he's clearing it up now.
Yes,
see? He's been saying, Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man, over and over and over, the scripture, and then quoting it. See? It's Son of Man. Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh among us. And will make His word so real that it will unite the church and Him as one.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's done.
Amen.
That's not what it's going to do. That's what it has done.
Right.
That's what the bride is. She's the manifestation of the revelation of Himself is living in her.
Amen.
And when He revealed it to her, they became one. They united together. And she began to reproduce Him. Because He's the Word and she's the Word. And so the Word began to live out. That is reproduction. See? Oh. I want to read it again. See, it's Son of Man. Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh among us. And will make His word so real that it'll unite the church and Him as one, the bride. And then she'll go home to the wedding supper. After she's united with Him, then she's going to that feast. She's going to that wedding supper. See? She's already united. See? We go to the wedding supper, not to the marriage. Feel your flesh, see, of all the flesh of mighty men, because the marriage of the Lamb has come. But the rapture is going to the wedding supper. The rapture is taking you to that spiritual feast. You're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, feasting. What did He say? He said, you're not feeding on a man. You're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man.
That's right.
That's the meal. That's what we're eating. That's the supper.
Mm-hmm.
See? Not to the marriage. See? Because the marriage of the Lamb has come. The rapture is going to the wedding supper. When the Word here, when the what? The Word unites with the person and they too become one. Then what does it do then? It manifests the Son of Man again. And who is the Son of Man? Jesus Christ in flesh.
Amen.
Not the church theologians, the Son of Man. See? The Word and the church becomes one. Whatever the Son of Man done, He was the Word, the church does the same thing. Praise God. That's what you're going to do. You can't do anything else. You're completely, the word of this day has complete preeminence in you. That's all you can do, is that. That's all you want to do. That you don't have desire to do anything else, but just that. Going back to Balaam here. And this is in, we talked about Balaam and Christ, the mystery of God revealed, and I wanted to read one more time in another message, Does God Change His Mind? This paragraph 81. Now, we notice here that Moses had a king. And that king was God that anointed him. So, God called Moses and He anointed him. So, the God of heaven, the creator of heavens and earth, called Moses and anointed him and sent him to perform a ministry. He had a ministry that God wanted him to do. He had a job. And Balaam also was under a king. These two had a lot of similarities, didn't they? They had a lot of similarities. Remember, he talked about how both of them was anointed. Both of them was prophets. Both of them prophesied true things. We read all that in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. So now here he's talking about Both of them was serving their king. Balaam also under a king, Balak. And it was more like a political setup, see, Balak. Balaam, a prophet of God, he went to Balak for his information. Where did he go? To his denomination, to his king, see, to his leader. That's where he went for his information. That's where he went for his revelation. That's where he went for his theology. That's what they do today. They're going to a man for their theology, for their revelation, for their whatever it is they have. That's right. But there's a group on the earth, around the world, made up of every nation, every tongue, and every kindred, that God is their leader. And they are called by God. They're anointed by God. They are in the ministry to serve God. They are led by the Spirit of God every day, performing His desire and His will. Moses went to God for information. There was the difference. Yet both of them were prophets because they were both called of God. Huh? Well, they were both called of God. They were both anointed of God. But one of them was looking to God and the other one was looking to a fleshly king. One was looking to the spiritual king. One was looking to a natural king. See? They both talked to God and they were both spirit-filled. He said, now I'm coming home, see? He's bringing it right close, right? He's bringing it to that razor edge. That's right. Both of them spirit-filled. You know he's talking about this day. Yeah, he's talking about Balaam and Moses, but he's talking about right now. When it's so close. That's why he said, I'm bringing it home. I'm bringing it right up to this day. He said, they're anointed with the Holy Spirit. They're called of God. They're prophets. They prophesy. They do all of that stuff. Yeah. Now, they were both spirit-filled men. Now, that's true. The Bible said that. God met with Balaam and talked with him. See? God talked with Balaam. He's gonna say here somewhere that when Balak came to Balaam and told him what he wanted him to do, Balaam said, I have got to go talk to God. Isn't that what he said? He said the right thing. He did the right thing. He said, I've got to go talk to God. I got to see what God wants me to do. Now that's what a prophet of God would do. He would seek the will of God. And that's what he did. And God spoke to him and God told him what to do. God gave him the perfect will of God. Now we notice each one of these prophets, both of them being prophets, man of God, they catered to their headship. Here's the separation. This is the separation. We're either going to cater to the mind of Christ, or we're going to cater to our own mind, or somebody else's mind. That's it. It's the headship. Now, he just got done telling us and proving his word that the revealing, the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man has made us one with him. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And so that makes him, the head, has joined itself to the body, the head and the body becoming one, to bring forth the manifestation of him, of himself.
Right.
Now, Balaam wanted, he was a prophet, all of that. He wanted to represent God, but he wanted to represent Balak. He wanted the blessings of Balak. That's what he wanted. He wasn't satisfied. He wasn't satisfied with the blessings of God. That's the difference.
Amen.
I was sitting back there a while ago, and I thought, I came out, and I thought, I feel humbled. I feel humble that people would come out and sit in a home. Do you know there's people that would not come and sit in a home? For to have a religious service, to have a church service, to worship God. They absolutely, if they're not in some nice building, and literally some of them have to be in the biggest building in the town they live in, or they're not going to go. That's their mindset. That's the way that they think. That's how people think. It doesn't matter that in the Bible they met in caves. It doesn't matter that in the Bible they met in fields. It doesn't matter in the Bible that they were outcast. No, in their intellect, in their minds, they see it totally different. And to be identified with people that all of that is laid aside, none of that means anything to them. That only one thing that means anything to them is the revelation, is God, their walk with God. And it's God that wherever you are, wherever, if you're here or tomorrow you're somewhere else, it's God that's leading you there.
That's right.
Yes, sir. It's got to be that way. If somebody ups and goes somewhere else and goes somewhere else and we start criticizing them because we think this is it, we're the ones with the problem.
That's right.
We're the ones with the problem.
Right.
If we believe that God is leading the people, then God is leading them. Wherever they go, God's leading them.
That's right.
And so if we're going to criticize God, that where they're going, then we're criticizing God's leading.
Amen.
What God is doing. You say, well, what if they're going to the wrong, some place that's not preaching the truth? Well, then God has a reason.
That's right.
And I don't have to go into the details of that. You know. But that's between them and God.
Amen.
But God is the one doing it. God was moving Balaam and God was moving Moses.
Amen.
He was moving both of them. He had both of them right where he wanted. And just to nail that down, Brother Branham said, if God wanted me to be an antichrist, he said, that's what I want to be. Because with the spirit I got right now, I want to please him. Whatever he wants me to be. He said, if it's a doormat at his door, that's what I want to be. Now, I know that's big, but that's the word. That's the prophet. That's somebody who we know had it.
Amen.
He had it. And he's telling us how it will make you feel when you have it. How it'll make you react when you have it.
That's right.
The same thing. It'll make you do the same thing that he did. You said, you were reading that, it was talking about the same thing Jesus did. Yeah, but he just told us Jesus Christ was in flesh.
That's right.
And we've seen the same Jesus Christ living in flesh. That's where it was manifesting for us. It was the revealing of the Son of Man. We've seen it in flesh happening.
Amen.
And everything of that nature, everything of that life, everything of that spirit and that word, that revelation living, that was for us to see.
Amen.
That was a mirror for us to look in.
Yeah.
See? Now, paragraph 83. So we notice each one of these prophets, both of them being prophets, man of God, they catered to their headship. That's right. Moses catered to God, and Balaam catered to Balak. That's right. And notice here now, in typing the spiritual and the natural, how perfect that it was. Moses, sent by God in the line of duty, is met and challenged by another man of God. Could you imagine such as that? Now, just bring it right down now. Bring it right down to this day. See? Because that's where that's what he wants us to get to. He's only reading that back there. The only reason he's taking time with that back there is so we'll see this time right here.
That's right.
The same spirit of God, the same spirit of the devil. The same. Moses was leading the children of Israel just as God would tell them where to go, led by the pillar of fire and a supernatural being that was leading the way. And Moses was getting his information through the Logos, of course, that went out of God. What was the Logos? The Word. It was the Word. He got his information from the Logos, from the Word of God speaking to him. That pillar of fire, which was the angel of the covenant, which was Christ. See? The anointed one. And he was getting his message through there and giving it to the children of Israel on the road to a promised land. Praise be to God. That, Moses was getting his from the Logos. Balaam was getting his from Balak. That's right. From the headquarters, from the theology, from whatever they had. See? Why it had to be shepherds. Paragraph 184. Now no man has the right to enter the sacred desk to preach the word, see, until he has did as Moses did and met God himself upon the grounds where there's no theologian can explain it away. No man. He's going to bring it back to the messenger, but he's saying here, no man. He's talking about any man, any preacher has to meet that pillar of fire. And who is that pillar of fire? He's the Word. He's the Word. And he brings it to every single one of us, not just the preacher. It's got to be every single one of us. That's where it is. Brother Branham said these same words here. He's saying no man has a right. I was reading today, no person has a right. No believer, no man, no woman has a right to claim anything, to pray, or even to worship God until they have received the new birth. That's the words of the prophet. They don't have any right. He's seeking those to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what he wants. And he's making it available. He's making it available. He's fulfilled his part. He is here in the fullness of his word. He's here in the fullness of his spirit. So if he has anointed you with that spirit, with that life, with that eternal life, then you'll cry out for it. You'll cry out until he's satisfied that hungering and that thirst. No man has a right to enter that sacred desk, see, to preach the word until he has did like Moses did, met God himself. There it is right there. Met God himself. Is that a personal relationship? That's what he's talking about. It's a personal relationship. Upon the grounds where that there's no theologian can explain it away. Now he mentions this and he repeats this. And so I want you to think about it as he's saying it here. When it's been made real to you, when it's a revelation to you, then no man can explain it away. That's the difference. That's something we used to talk about a lot. I mean, way back there 20, 30 years ago, was that if I can talk you into it, another man can talk you out of it.
That's right.
If it's just based on how well we present it and how we throw the quotes and how we throw the scripture and who has the best argument, yeah, I can sway you. Another person change you back and change you back and change. You can flop like the wind. That ain't it.
That's right.
When it's happened to you, when it's a revelation to you, then nobody can move you. Nobody. You'll stand right there. See? Moses was there. No matter how much Israel's messenger said, oh, it was a nonsense. You just imagine you saw this. It's nonsense, see? What, they had Korah and Dathan, all these others. Hey, we're all holy. You're not the only one. You need to step aside. Let some of these other brothers do this. Let some of these brothers do that. He said, God called me. God called me. When God calls you, you'll know what your place is. That's right. That it's what is heavenly places? the believer's position.
Yes.
The believer's position in Christ. He reveals it to you.
Right.
You know your position. You watch. And you watch when he's in there, he's constantly making you conscious of right where you're at. You don't want to get out of your position. You don't want to get out of your place. You don't want to start doing something that he don't want you to do. You just watch that. You stay around believers. You'll see that nature in them. You'll see that character in them. They don't want to get out of their place. They want to hold right there where God wants them to be. See, no theologian, nobody can explain it away. You couldn't take that away from him. He knowed. He was there. He was the one it happened to. Praise God. And you're the one. You're the one that it's happened to.
Yes,
no matter how much they try to talk you out of it, no matter how they try to tempt you with the world, no matter how they try to tempt you with anything, you're the one it's happened to. You're the one that he's living in. You're the one that he's revealed himself to. They can come up with good arguments, and nobody can out-argue Satan. Satan is the best at that task. But you won't let go of this word. You won't. See? And no man, by a theological degree or some doctor's degree, has a right behind the pulpit to claim the message of Jesus Christ until he's first met God face to face in the pillar of fire. See, he has no right to call himself a messenger. I can remember, Brother Branham said this a number of places, that you have no right to preach until you've met him face to face. And when he mentioned that pillar of fire, as a young minister, I thought, so then I thought, well, I can't preach. I can't preach. I thought I took it literally. I had to see that pillar of fire. But that pillar of fire he's talking about is the Word, is God himself. You've got to meet God himself. He's got to reveal himself to you. See, he has no right to call himself a messenger because all the theologians in the world couldn't explain that away from you. It happened to you. You were there. You know about it, see? Doesn't care what anybody else says or how much they can say. The days is gone. It isn't so. It happened to you. It's according to the Word. Praise God. That's right. It's not somebody else's experience. That's why it doesn't work for mom and daddy's experience or for your husband's or your wife's or somebody else's experience. It's got to happen to you. If God has to do it for you. Yes, that's the reason Moses knew this voice. See, had spoke to him. It was a word voice. And that's exactly the same with you. What happens every time you hear something? What happens every time you hear a preacher preach? You're looking for a word voice. You're taking it back to the Word. And you're not taking it to the Word of another age. That's another thing. You already learned that. You are looking to the Word of this day. You are looking to Jesus Christ. You are looking to the revealed Son of Man in this hour. You're not taking any man's idea. You're taking everything back to the Word. See? That's the reason Moses knew this voice, had spoke to him, was a word voice. He knew that God had told Abraham, your seed shall sojourn 400 years, but I will deliver them. Huh? He had a scripture. He had something to hold on to. He knew. Here, we're living in this time. Here, we've fulfilled that. We've been here 400 years. And he knew the 400 years was up, and he was called to do it. He knew that he met that pillar of fire. He knew that God told him what he was to do. He knew it. And so it didn't matter what Pharaoh said, and it didn't matter what the people said. It didn't matter all the rejection. None of that mattered. He knew what God said. That's exactly what Brother Branham went through. The same exact thing when Dr. Roy Davis told him, said, Billy, get a hold of yourself. You, with a sixth grade education, are going to go around the world, and you're going to preach to kings and potentates. Now, remember now, this is when he was still in the Baptist church. He was just a young man. He had no ministry. He never went out on the field. He just preached in the local church there. He had a pastor. He was technically a nobody. He was just a young preacher learning to preach in the church. And he's telling his pastor that he's going to have a worldwide ministry that's going to go to every nation. And it is going to preach to kings and potentates, great men around the world. And people are going to be healed of every kind of disease. They're going to be raised from the dead, and blinded eyes is going to be opened, and all of these things. And can you imagine? Somebody's telling you this, and you start laughing just like Sarah did in your heart. Maybe not out. Maybe you control yourself and don't laugh outside, but on the inside you think, you're kind of lighthearted, thinking, this is really a stretch right here. And it was a stretch. It was a stretch. Because it had never been done exactly like it was fixing to be done. It was going to be the greatest ministry that had ever been introduced to the world. Yeah, you say the greatest, I mean the greatest. This was Jesus Christ revealing himself in flesh in the last days, when the fullness of the word and the fullness of his spirit was going to come back upon a bride to manifest himself in her. Praise be to God. See, and Moses and Brother Branham both, they experienced it. And they knew that God talked to them and God told them what they were supposed to do. And it wasn't no fun being laughed at. And it wasn't no fun being made fun of. And it wasn't no fun being rejected. But it had to be done. It had to be. And it proved. They accepted the challenge. And they proved that God spoke to them. And somewhere in those latter years, Dr. Roy Davis was sitting in the meetings. After he'd been around the world, after he'd prayed for kings, after he'd prayed for the potentates, after the dead had been raised and the blinded eyes had been opened, he sat there in the meetings and he witnessed it with his own eyes. And he said, that boy told me that when he was just a young boy. See? We need a burning bush experience where men get down before God and meet Him face to face. We need a challenger today like we had in that day. What we need is men and women who's met God and know what they're talking about. Huh? How can they know? Remember the very first quote we read? That there is no school, no theologian, no teacher, not even the elected teachers can know this thing. But we need people that know it. And there's only one way, and that's a personal relationship. That's Jesus Christ Himself revealing Himself to them. See? What we need is men and women who's met God and know what they're talking about. Walking by revelation, not intellect. Not somebody trying to teach from some church book or some open theology. What we need today is a man that's been in the presence of the burning bush and been born again and changed. And made a new creature. That's the type of person we need today. That's the kind of person that'll stay on the firing line, regardless of what comes or what goes. That's right. Moses, after he received his commission, he went down into Egypt, delivered the children of Israel. One great mistake we find, one great thing, as it was in that day, so is it today, when we find out that Moses went down and got the children of Israel and brought them out. The phenomenal had been done. That's right. The supernatural, the impossible, the power of God had been vindicated and proven, confirmed. See, now here it is. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to shake you or jerk to hide from you. For I wish to preach the truth. There's one thing about it, brother. The truth will never make you popular. Huh? Are you looking to be popular? You just go find you a big church that just pets everybody on the back. Because the truth will not make you popular. You're not going to be. If you need that, you're in the wrong place. You just will head over to the big place. But the truth will make you honest. That's a good thing. Huh? What will the truth do? It will make you honest.
Amen.
It will make you an open book. Mm-hmm. Just like he opened and revealed the book, you are an open book. Mm-hmm. Your life is an open book. You don't have anything to hide. You're not trying to hide everything from everybody and nobody know anything. No. You don't have anything to hide. Jesus Christ is on display. You want him exposed. You want him to shine. You want him to be seen by others. See? That's a good thing. See? Well, hadn't you rather be honest than be popular? Certainly you had. But this man, now I'm trying to close here, and we're going to get there. Just 1 minute. See? But this man was all settled down, and he had his kingdom. He had his churches. He had everything right there in order. So he sends over to get this man to come over and curse this people. And notice, could you imagine that one prophet, one man of God, seeing the works of God with another man and try to challenge that works of God? Huh? We don't want to touch it. We don't want, leave that to God. You remember when Brother Branham was sitting on the platform behind, they had invited him, they advertised, Brother Branham's going to be here to preach, he's going to, great miracles, all these things are going to be done, but they didn't want Brother Branham to preach because of his doctrine. And so he's sitting there, and he thinks, well, the people don't know who it is, so this man stands there, and Lee Vail and Brother Branham's sitting there. And this man is telling people, Brother Branham wasn't able to come today, so we're going to have another speaker. And so we're sorry for that, but this is what it is. And some of them, it was about money too, because people were coming for the gift. They were coming for healing. They were coming for different things. So that meant there was going to be big offerings. There was going to be a big crowd. All of those things. They wanted that, but they didn't want the word. They didn't want the revelation. Boy, isn't that something? The very thing that you want more than any of the rest of it is the thing they don't want. Could you imagine one prophet, one man of God, seeing the works of God with another man, another prophecy, and try to challenge that works of God when he knew, ought to have known better. Balaam first, when Balak sent him and told him, come over and curse this people. And Balaam done the thing that was right. He sought God. He sought God first. And that's what he ought to have done. And then God gave him his perfect will, clear-cut answer. Don't go with him. See? Leave them alone. Don't you curse those people. They are blessed. And that ought to be enough. But when God says anything, he cannot change. His perfect will was, don't you go. Don't attack that people. They are my people. That was his perfect will. But Balaam didn't like those people to begin with. And there you are. There's the problem. You watch. When that gets in a person's heart, then they don't have the leading of the Spirit. They can't get the revelation of the word because they have a wall. They have something there that's hindering them. They have something when hatred and envy and pride, when those things get in your heart, then you are blocked. You block God out. See, how many Balaams do we have today? The same thing. See, same thing. And they know better. See? What we read the other day, Brother Bram said, they sit in their office and they read these quotes. They read these scriptures and they refuse. Why? They want to be popular. They want to have money. They want to have fame and fortune, all those things. See, Nicodemus come and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a man sent from God, a teacher sent from God. No man could do the things you do unless God was with him. See, they look, there was Balaam again. There was that same Balaam spirit. Just as that Cain spirit came down, just there's that Balaam spirit come down, right there, same thing. And I know you, some of you are tired tonight, and I'm sorry for that. I know you work hard, and I do too. I've been really busy. I know everybody has, and so. We thank God for His mercy and grace. Now, I've been up since 3:30 this morning. And so I knew I had to work today. And so, but I couldn't get, I knew I wasn't going to get to study all day today. And so I didn't get home to about 3:00. And so the Lord helped me. When I wake up like that, I know, He's helping me. It's so that I can have some study time. Because I sleep. I don't have any problem sleeping. I go to bed at night. I sleep. I wake up around 6 in the morning, 5:30, 6 in the morning. And that's Lord has blessed me. My wife struggles for sleep, and I don't. I just go like that. But I never need a clock to wake up. I always wake up in the morning. But on days like this, when I'm already bothered because I know I'm not going to be able to stay home, somehow he gives it to me. He gives it. And some of these quotes I got at 4:00 this morning. I got some of these quotes this morning, early in the morning. And so I thank God. When I say those things, I know that every one of you could testify the same things that God does for you daily. Something that you know where He's moving you during the day or showing you something or letting you see something. And we thank Him and we praise Him. So I'm going to stop right there. And we'll ask you to stand together with us. I'm going to just ask Brother Richard to come and dismiss us in a word of prayer tonight. And may God bless you and keep you. Let us continue to be in prayer for Brother Goomba and for Sister Esther and Sister Sharon and for my mom and for Brother Samuel. Brother Keenan and Sister Pauletta came by and to visit my mom. And they were telling us that Brother Samuel was having some issues. And so remember him. I think it was pretty serious. And then there's somebody else, and I'm not remembering.
Sister Evelyn.
Sister Evelyn, yes. And anybody else have a request? Brother Michael. So, Brother, just God bless you.
Bow our heads. Lord Jesus, Father, Lord, we know, we've heard who we need to pray for. If something needs to go deep in our hearts and our souls and resurrect when we're alone and when we need comfort, we know who to pray for. We know who needs prayer, Lord, and you take care of us, Lord, and we know you will take care of who we pray for, Lord. Because we submit it all to the same Lord Jesus that we love, Lord, and made us part of your kingdom, Lord. Be with each one now, Lord. Be with these children, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Remember Brother Goomba, Lord, in Africa, Lord, and knowing him, Lord. Keep him safe, Lord, and bring him back safe, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, ask that you be with our pastor, Lord, and anoint him further, Lord, and we enjoy the word, Lord, you fed us well. Ask that you be with us now as we depart, Lord, and go to our homes, and be with us now, and give thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I remembered who it was. I want you to take these requests home with you. The other one was, I was talking to Sister Darlene and Sister Jurgen the other day, and they asked for prayer for Adam. So please remember Adam. He's going through a hard time. Amen. Amen. God bless you.